In terms of the rules, we need to elect an acting chair. Could I have members propose nominations for the acting chair, Honorable Smenya?
Honorable Thabise Nkuna to chair the meeting.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Honorable Macheke?
I second.
Do I have any other nominations? There being no other nominations, I welcome the acting chairperson, Honorable Kunob.
Oh, good morning, Honorable members. This chair are so hard. Good morning and thank you very much for that. We have a short day. I think we're going to have one of our shortest caucus ever, but you are all welcomed. Honorable members, just at the beginning, I just want to indicate that last week we had, we had a conference of women. Women are crying out there, and I think they need our voice to actually say to them, you know, this is what we can do as women together in South Africa, to wipe those tears from their faces. Our children are being killed, our mothers are being raped by their own children. It's a serious problem. And I hope that when we talk about that, we won't politicize it, but I think we have a lot of work out there as women. When we get to our constituencies, when we meet other women, let's make sure that at the end of the day, we try to get a solution. We have to find a solution together, because complaining about it is not going to help us at all. And in fact, the chairperson of CGE was actually saying that, what should we do? Should we castrate? What should we do? We need to come up with harsher sentences so that we send a message out there clear and loud and say to anyone who abuses women that we are here and we are going to make you pay for that. So that was just me trying to echo my views and actually saying, you know, when you go to the house and complain about every three minutes women are being killed, I don't know who are we complaining to, because all of us are politicians and we need to come up with solutions. But that Brian earlier on spoke about Masuri being sick. She's sick and we're sending our prayers to her to get well very soon. So in our agenda, we have two main items. I know that one of the items is not put in here, but it's something that we fought for as Women's Caucus, and we want it to be there. And we have our visitor from Treasury who's going to brief us on VAT-free, on sanitary towel. So I suggest that we put that as a second item. I'm sorry to have done that. I thought it was already in the agenda. You are welcomed and thank you very much to come for you coming here. And maybe again, before we start with Mema Seko coming, can you prepare yourself to come in the front, to come and brief us on the common work? But before you do that, I also want to apologize on behalf of the Women's Caucus, that at first we sent an email in saying we have cancelled the meeting. The reason was that the minister of on for women in the presidency was not going to be available today to come and brief us on a gender machinery from all the departments. She was not available. That's why we had to cancel. But after, you know, discussions, we then agreed that we cannot cancel. This is one of the things that is part of our legacy as the fifth parliament, that we have a caucus day for women. So that's why we said we cannot cancel. There are so many issues that we can talk about as women, and that's why we are here today. And thank you, Brian, for reorganizing, and thank you so much for actually not getting irritated with us, or, you know, cancelling and then saying again the meeting is on. Thank you very much for not being irritated with us. On that note, I will then ask Honorable Lindiwe Maseko, and are you going to... You can speak from there. Okay. Honorable Maseko, can you come in the front and brief us on the Commonwealth Women Parliamentary meeting that was held in Botswana?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and congratulations for being elected acting Chairperson of this meeting. And true, we wish Ms. Dori well. I thought probably as a committee we can buy a card and sign all of us, or we send her flowers, you know, so that when we say we pray, we're not sure if we really pray, but we do pray, some of us. There are those who do not pray, but these are prayers going to say. Honourable members, I was asked to brief the meeting on the CWP meeting that was held in Botswana last week. Actually, Honourable Togo Didiza, who's the CWP chairperson in Africa region, had requested me and Honourable Thapelo Chilwane to prepare, because we were at the meeting. I have been the chairperson of the CWP, of the CPA, Africa region since 2012. So I was the first woman, only up to now, and the only one who served two terms, because the constitution now doesn't allow two terms. So I was the only one who served two terms. So my term as chairperson Africa region ended last week in Botswana, and the speaker of Kenya, Honorable Justin Muturi, was elected the chairperson of the Africa region. One has participated in the CWP meetings. In 2003, was elected the interim chairperson of CWP International while the constitution was amended, and in 2004 was elected to the first CWP chairperson international. What was interesting is that the officials in departments sometimes they can be myopic and not bent on anything, because as I was traveling and spoke to the then Minister of Foreign Affairs, Honorable Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, and asked for a diplomatic passport. He asked the late Uncle Billy Modise to issue me a passport, and he refused vehemently. He says, no, but she's not part of the people who are on the list. And he says, so, Captain Singh, but there hasn't been any. She's the first to hold that position in this world. I says, no, I can't issue. She's not in this category. She's not there. But eventually it was done. But coming back to the meeting in Botswana, is that the CWP is part of the organs of the CPA. The others is the coordinating committee. There's the Regional Representative Subcommittee, the Program Planning and Finance Subcommittee, and the Commonwealth Women Parliamentarian Steering Committee. The Steering Committee is comprised of the Chairperson, Africa Region, who's Honorable Didiza, and representative from four sub-regions. The Southern Africa, which comprised of South Africa and its nine provinces, so there's 10 representatives there. And Namibia, Swaziland, and Lesotho. Then there's Central Africa with Botswana, Zambia, Mozambique, and Malawi. And then it does sound funny because you think Botswana is part of Southern Africa, but when the restructuring was done in 1996, and I remember because it was the first time I entered into the CPA fray, and I've been there since then without a break, that a representative from Botswana refused when South Africa came and said, as Botswana, this South Africa will swarm us and we won't even be visible. We can't belong to Southern Africa, we rather belong to Central Africa. That's how Botswana became to be part of, within this the CPA division as part of Central Africa. And then there's East Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Seychelles, Mauritius, part of the East Africa, and Uganda. And then West Africa, Cameroon, Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, the Gambia will be back as part of West Africa. Nigeria has got 36 branches with its states. So within the CPA, not CWP, we have 6 representatives, but with the CWP, it's 4, 1 per sub-region. And this was because of the number of branches that Southern Africa has and West Africa has. So we have 2 representatives of West Africa and 2 representatives of Southern Africa, and 1 each for Central and East Africa. For Southern Africa, currently it is the Speaker of Lesotho, Ntate Mutanyane, Spiri Mutanyane, and the Deputy Chairperson of National Council of Namibia, Bernard Sibalatane, Honorable Bernard Sibalatane. So those are the people. So what it means is that when there's an activity within the Southern Africa, Honorable Sibalatane will attend, and Right Honorable Sipiri Mutanyane. Although that this period has not been attending, but Honorable Sibalatane has been attending, including the workshop that we had in KZN in January. Honorable Chair, I will give you the report as is, and I've asked Brian that later we didn't make copies, because I was not sure actually what is it that I should present, but I presented the report that was presented to conference, which is a summary of everything. Other things probably I'll elaborate on them. And as the chairperson presented it, I will present it as such. And Honorable Chinwan will add if there is any omission. So it will be circulated to members. Mr. Maki said he will email to all of us. She started by a quote that is Honorable Didiza. It says, marriage, though often a beautiful thing, is not an achievement, does not qualify one for public office, close quote. Mahere said in one of many spirited exchanges on Twitter. Another quote was, we are fighting to have equal rights with our men because we have a right to take part in politics, just as we had a right to play a big part in bringing peace, just as we had a right to bring Ebola down, close quote. That was Dr. Nemata Majeks Walker, the founder and first president of the 50-50 group in Sierra Leone. Based on the above statement, the words of Fadzai Mahere, a young Zimbabwe lawyer who contested in the July 2018 Zimbabwe election, is an indication that the gender-based prejudices are still rife among our societies, regardless of the strides that have been made towards gender equality. The same prejudices were experienced leading to the Sierra Leone election in April 2018. Sadly, such attitudes prevail in many of our societies to this day. As a result of these attitudes, women representation declined in Sierra Leone from 12.4% in 2013 to 10% today. It is these words of Maherebat, the women activist of Sierra Leone, that continue to remind us that our strategic objective of increasing women's representation in parliaments and legislatures remain relevant to this day. It requires even more strategic interventions to ensure that we change the societal stereotypes that still believe that it is only men that have the right to take part in the public affairs of the country. It is for this reason that the gender agenda must remain central for the work of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association and not only a matter for the CWP, which is the case. I'm not sure, maybe it was because I was the chairperson and ensured, being a woman, that the CWP agenda is top on the CPA agenda. So we will see what the new chairperson do, but remembering that in 2015 when we had the workshop in Gauteng, he's one who advocated us to bring in the issue of women representation and treated, and it was also broadcast in Kenya, a broadcasting association, the RTV, and when he got back he was in such trouble, but he stood by what he believed in, that women must be given equal opportunity. On the activities, at the last CWP business meeting in Owerri, Imo State, the business meeting takes place during the conference. That was the last was in October 2017, before the one in Botswana recently. The following activities were identified as critical to be undertaken by the CWP. There was the issue of the election of the chairperson of CPA International. CWP Africa Region resolved at its last business meeting in Owerri to support the candidature of Honorable Emelia Monjoali Faka, the Deputy Speaker of Cameroon, as the, for the position of the chairperson of Commonwealth Parliamentary Association at international level. So we thanked our members, led by the patron of CWP, for the spirited campaign that saw Honorable Lefaka elected to the position of chairperson of CPA International in Dhaka, Bangladesh, during the annual general meeting in November 2017. The interesting thing was that the then chairperson was elected in Cameroon in 2014, and was the Speaker of Bangladesh was elected in Cameroon, and the Deputy Speaker of Cameroon was elected in Bangladesh for the subsequent conference. So the important thing about her election is that it comes at a time when, as the CPA, we had resolved the issue of changing the status of the CPA from that of charity under the UK laws to that of an international organization. And the first task that Honorable Lefaka is faced with is to ensure the smooth transition from charity. It's something that we have, for time immemorial, we had worked on to ensure that CPA has changed its status. The speaker of Kenya and myself were part of the expert committee representing Africa, and in the workshop that we had in preparation for the expert committee, we went into the genesis of why the CPA was a charity organization, and we found that as far back as 1962. The then Secretary General of CPA, in addressing CHOGM, and at that time there was a very, very close relationship between the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting and the CPA, requested the Heads of Government for the change of status. They all agreed, except the Prime Minister of the UK. And I don't know why they didn't overturn. Because he was the only one. However, it continued thus. So it was seen as an Africa thing until we came to research the genesis thereof, and then they realized that it was not an Africa thing, although Africa pushed it, and we have been since 2012 from Gauteng put a motion for the change of status, and in Bangladesh it was eventually agreed, and the last expert committee, or it's now a working group that is working on the nitty-gritties of the transition, that, you know, before Speaker Muturi says they used to sit alone in these meetings because all these others had nothing to do with Africa, but now they all want to sit with him and discuss, because he's very firm, and Africa came with this whole genesis that made sense. So that was about the CPA. I thought that I will bring in, and I think Honourable Mildred knows also from Fabek and Doreen and some of the members who used to sit and attend CWP meetings on the issues of the status. So we've eventually changed the status, which is something that one was proud of, but in my tenure, that was my main task. And when I finished, it was done. And now the new chairperson is working also on the transition. On the issue of missions to countries due for elections and primaries in 2018, the CWP had taken decision to visit some of the countries that will be going through and having their elections in 2018, especially those who will still be, so that we go while they're having their primaries and ensure that we advocate for more women to be represented. Then the meeting that was held in Oer, Nigeria, resolved to send a mission to member states that were going to have elections in 2018. Immediately after Oer, the Secretariat sent communications to two countries and followed up telephonically, and unfortunately no response was received, and therefore the mission could not be undertaken. One was Swaziland. The Secretariat communicated to the Parliament of Eswatini, now it has been changed from Swaziland to Eswatini, to identify a suitable date for the visit of the CWP steering committee prior to elections. Confirmation of the receipt of the communication was received. However, no date was given for such a visit by the Parliament of Eswatini until it was dissolved. So it was dissolved in May, and they'll be going for elections. On International Women's Day, almost all the CWP organs in our various branches celebrated International Women's Day by undertaking various activities involving different stakeholders at the country level. During the 74th Executive Committee meeting that was held in March 2018 in Bayelsa, Nigeria, the CWP steering committee was invited by the wife of the governor, the Excellency Dr. Rachel Dixon, to celebrate International Women's Day with the women of Bayelsa State, Nigeria. The chairperson of the CWP steering committee participated in the steering committee women's rally, and with the CPA escort chairperson, we visited the girls' school where members were engaged with the students on women leadership. It was a very enlightening engagement where we were put on the spot, and these young girls from that boarding school, girls' school, were asking us questions, and you had to be on your sharp wits to respond. But also we committed to ensuring that there must be an ongoing program of mentoring those young girls. And then when on the reports of the activities by the chapter, following the 74th CPA Executive Committee meeting in Bayelsa State, Nigeria, communication was sent to all chapters to provide reports of activities carried out during celebration on International Women's Day. Reports on CWP activities were received from Zambia, Rwanda, and Zanzibar. As far as in Zambia, the planned activities for Zambia chapter in 2018 were reported as follows. One, developing a gender-responsive strategic plan for 2018 to 2021. Two, schedule quarterly executive committee meetings. 3, schedule of at least 2 stakeholder coordinating meetings. 4, held a annual review and planning meeting. And 5, 2, resource mobilization through cooperating partners. In Rwanda, the chapter reported that they get to conduct 1-day consultative discussion for both chambers in parliament to sensitize parliamentarians on CWP and its activities, and then conduct and implement a field visit to local government districts to sensitize and train women to contribute to national and local development through their political, economic, and social participation, and also conduct follow-up to see how CWP principles are implemented by women at grassroots level. In Zanzibar, they scheduled the launch of the CWP chapter to take place on the 22nd and 23rd September 2018, so it's a forthcoming event, and has requested the CWP and CPA Africa Region Executive Committee chairpersons to attend and make presentations during the launch. On gender sensitization workshop, there were 2 successful workshops that were held by CWP during the current year. Firstly, in January 2018, KwaZulu-Natal chapter hosted the gender sensitization workshop on behalf of CWP Africa region. Secondly, Uganda chapter hosted the CWP East Africa sub-regional workshop in July 2018. On the KwaZulu-Natal workshop, the KwaZulu-Natal chapter hosted the gender sensitization workshop at Fairmont Zimbali Resort from 24 to 27 January 2018. The workshop was held under the theme Mechanisms to Strengthen Gender Equality. The theme was in line with goal number 5 of the United Nations, that is Sustainable Development Goals, which is to achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. The CWP East Africa sub-region, Kampala, Uganda, hosted a sub-regional workshop in Kampala, Uganda from 21st to 26th of July 2018 under the theme Mainstreaming Gender in Parliamentary Business. Both workshops were successful and underscored the importance of such activities in order to empower women parliamentarians through the continuous engagement on how best we can advance women's issues in the legislatures and in parliament. I think what you also realized was that sometimes women do have activities as women caucus or women in constituencies, but they wouldn't link that to activities of the CWP. But we did emphasize that issues, because in most instances, women caucus are also CWP chapters, so they work interchangeably. Because sometimes they underreport, and yet there's quite a lot of work that is being done by women caucuses in different areas. And visit to sub-national. One was Gauteng. The Gauteng CWP chapter invited the CWP chairperson to address women's organization on how to empower and strategize and to improve women's representation in upcoming elections in 2019. The meeting also focused on how women leaders can manage the multiple roles they play in the society and at home. And in response to a resolution of the CWP Africa region, an e-discussion forum project was established. This is an interactive site that will serve as a platform for women parliamentarians to engage in expert-facilitated dialogue on gender and human rights mainstreaming in parliamentary practice. The Eastern Cape, the chapter hosted the CWP dialogue on the 19th and 20th June 2018 at Maluti Service Civic Center in Matatiel, local municipality, to raise awareness on women's rights under the theme Women at the Center of Radical Economic Transformation. The objective of the dialogue was the status of women representation in leadership across society to facilitate the increase of women representation in parliament, government, private sector, and churches, to interrogate the role of women in Africa Agenda 2063, to mainstream gender policy planning, budgetary and program implementation process, to mobilize active participation of women in government programs and the dialogue.
Hello. You are all welcomed and thank you for visiting us. This is the Women's Caucus, Multi-Party Caucus in Parliament. Thank you very much for visiting us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The dialogue was graced by the Premier of the Eastern Cape Legislature and the members of the Executive Committee in the Legislature, speakers of all provincial legislatures, speakers of municipalities, House of Traditional Leaders and the community. On condolences, the tribute, in April 2018, the South African chapter lost one of its members, Honorable Nomzamo Winnie Madikizela Mandela, who was not only a member of Parliament of South Africa, but was revered by many as a woman activist and leader during the struggle for freedom for South Africa. Her activism inspired many, even in other member states. The steering committee sent a tribute to the family of the stalwart of our struggle for women emancipation. And then also a tribute for Honorable Umabuba Jibril, CPA Regional Rep of West Africa. The steering committee sent a tribute to the family and the Parliament of Nigeria following the passing on of Honorable Jibril, who was the CPA regional representative for West Africa. He was an active member of the association and supported the work of the CWP. And in most instances, when he fell ill for 2 years, I was his alternate to represent him at the international CPA executive committee. On the steering committee meeting and special meeting, the steering committee had undertaken its statutory duties by holding its meetings to receive updates on the activities of its chapter in order to achieve its objectives. The steering committee during the East Africa workshop agreed to develop a plan of action with a detailed budget which will be tabled at the business meeting for approval, and it was done and it was approved. A special steering committee meeting was held during the gender sensitization workshop in Kampala to advance the work of the chapter. Follow up on the issues emanating from the business meeting that was held the year before in Owerri. The steering committee noted that CWP chapters and branches do not report their activities adequately. Most instances, the work of the multi-party women's caucuses is seen as separate and not forming part of the CWP work. And it's exactly what I was trying to explain earlier on. In preparation for the Botswana conference, in preparation for the CP Africa Regional Conference, CWP Steering Committee proposed a gender topic for the conference to the CP Executive Committee. The topic was parliamentary agenda for combating human trafficking and modern day slavery in Africa and the promotion of human rights. This was to be presented by Elsa State in Nigeria. Although they did not attend the conference, they did send a paper that was then presented by the vice chairperson of the CWP, who's an honorable member from Nigeria, and it was seconded by Zanzibar. It was a good paper, and I'll also give to Mr. Maji so that he can also circulate the paper to honorable members. And on the host country, Botswana, in consultation with the CWP steering committee, and then was to present a two-hour seminar prior to the business meeting, which look at the impact of cybercrime on women. The workshop did, the seminar did take place and was a success. On the coordination of sub-region, as a follow-up to the matter of sub-regional coordination as proposed by the East Africa region at the last business meeting, the Secretariat presented a model for coordination of, and was adopted by the steering committee. Some of the proposed action, a plan of action that was put on the budget was that the CWP steering committee meeting in Kampala developed the detailed action plan and budget for activities between August and December 28 with key result areas and its objectives as a guide for all activities in the chapters for consideration. Key result one was improved monitoring of implementation of international and regional instruments relating to improved gender parity at national level. So it's something that we have to look at and report on as a chapter in Parliament. The objective is to develop a database of relevant international and regional instruments and actively monitor the implementation of the instrument, producing regular reports for consumption. On key results, two area was on the reduction of cultural and religious practices that are harmful to women, and the objective thereof is to advocate for legislation and programs against child marriages, female genital mutilation, and others, ukuthwala and you name them. The key result area three was development of a mentorship program for women parliamentarians, legislators, and councillors. The objective thereof was to ensure newly elected women leaders can be mentored by those who have been there before so as to improve their effectiveness in their and their responsibility. A possible annual seminar for women parliamentarians, legislators, councillors, and women students studying political science at university level can be held at national level to share experiences on matters affecting women and public representatives. So, Chairperson, these three results areas, the CWP chair will require a report, or probably need to strategize how we deal with those. And then on monitoring and evaluation, that in order to keep track of the implementation of the CWP decision, the CWP will develop a monitoring and evaluation tool. And towards the conclusion on general elections for 2018 and 2019, there was a report that countries that are having elections in the second half of 2018 are Swaziland, Rwanda has had, and Cameroon. Cameroon will be having the presidential elections in October. And countries having elections in 2019 are Botswana, Cameroon, Malawi, Mozambique, Namibia, Nigeria, South Africa, and Mauritius. Currently in Botswana, they have started the ruling party, the PDP, is busy with their primaries. And in conclusion, the term of office of the patron of CWP, chairperson of the Executive Committee of CTA Africa Region, Lindiwe Maseko, came to an end at the conference. The steering committee thanked her for the leadership as she provided not only in the main body of the CPA but also the wide council in the work of the CWP as the patron. We have noted that during her tenure she was passionately ensured that the issue of the status of the CPA was addressed, and as a woman and gender activist in her own right, she led the campaign for the election of Honorable Lefaka as chairperson of CPA International. And as we come to an end of our year, we are grateful of the strides we have made and are mindful of the challenges that remain ahead of us. The support of the CWP chapter and women caucuses remain uneven in respective branches. Some of the concerns relate to parliamentary schedules which do not cater for women caucuses or CWP chapters. Financial support for activities of women caucuses is non-existent or very limited when such are provided, and some CPA branches do not support the work of the CWP chapters, and that limits their ability to function effectively. Chairperson, that was the report of the committee that took place in Botswana. One needs to also report that the chairperson, Honorable Tijiza, was also invited to present a paper on the sideline of Chogom that was held earlier this year in London. And it was well received. So, Chair, that is the report. Thank you.
Honorable Lindiwe Maseko for that report. I think it was a comprehensive report. Thank you very much. We will be waiting to get a copy from you. I've seen you in action, by the way, in Nigeria, and I know that what you are talking about exactly. So, yeah, congratulations. We pride ourselves to have women, and every time a woman is elevated, we really pride ourselves as women. Thank you very much for that report. Honorable Tafela Shilwani, do you have anything to add on the report?
Thank you, Chairperson. Not much, but maybe let me just start by saying that the conference acknowledged and appreciated the work that was done by Honorable Lindiwe Maseko as the Chairperson of CWP, CPA Africa. And that on the issues, there were issues that we elevated them to the CPA conference as it is, that we need as CWP, they should be discussed. There were topics that was on gender and equity budgeting in Parliament, and women caucuses and gender perspective in Parliament, strengthening use of ICT and media by women parliamentarians, and empowerment of rural and young women. Those were issues that were elevated to the conference as a whole, that they should be discussed and resolution must be taken. But for as Honorable Lindiwe has reported, that the report is still being processed, it will be provided to the Women Caucus so that it can be read. But there's just one issue that I wanted to emphasize on, the issue of strengthening use of ICT and media by women parliamentarians was really stressed on the issue that there are issues of cyber bullying against women who are in parliament. It was discussed to a certain extent that, you know, when women are contesting in higher positions and then cyber bullying come in place, where pictures of women will be on viral, so that to discourage women who to participate in those elections. There was also an issue that was raised specifically on the issue of Rwanda. I think it's Rwanda, where there's one woman who was contesting, wanted to contest the election. I think even now she wanted to contest the election. She met all the requirements. But then she was arrested by, yes, she was arrested by the sitting government. She's in prison now. She's still not in charge. I think it's almost like 378 days. Mm-hmm. And even her family, she has been arrested with her mother and one of her nephews. So it was an issue that was burning, that was discussed further, that we need to support women as Commonwealth countries. It's very much imperative. And also issues that were highlighted is that women in countries, there's a need to talk to political leadership, different political leadership parties that are represented in parliament, that the issue of 50-50 should be really emphasized in those parties, so that as women we cannot stand by and have a favor for men, but we should be members of parliament in all leadership schemes according to our own integrity, according to our own will, and according to our own potential. The other issue that I wanted to raise is the issue of budgeting. Okay, by the way, let me just state that South Africa was appreciated in terms of representation, women in positions, and Rwanda as such, because I think it's at 64%. But it may be vice versa when you relate the story of this woman who was being arrested. And also the issue of budgeting, it was also appreciated that South Africa didn't have a separate budget in terms of supporting women programs. I think these are the issues that maybe I wanted to raise. But also on the issue of elections, it was also resolved that the CWP should be able to send women delegations in those countries when there are primary elections in countries like Sierra Leone and Nigeria. And that we should be able to, we should be able to support these women when they are contesting. I think this primary election is almost like us in South Africa when we're having these conferences, so that we're able to put more voice on women politicians in all countries. And the issue of young women, especially in the rural areas, that they should be supported by all the departments, so that women must grow, women must be able to participate in the economy, especially on food security. Issue of human trafficking, the most affected people are women and young girl children. I think I should just emphasize that issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Comrade Honorable Mafeko and Honorable Shilwane for the report. I think we're all excited, and we want to make sure that the programs that you are speaking to, you spoke about, will be part of the program of action here in Parliament. And we shouldn't be left there, but we have to be part of it. Young people always say, meaning if you're not part of it, you won't be, won't receive anything, any benefits. And I think we have learned a lot from both of your reports. Thank you very much. It's good that we go to all these conferences and come back and report. But honorable members, this is the time for any questions, additions, suggestions for CPA. Thank you. Now, there's only one hand. Okay. Two. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the honorable members for giving us the report. I think that is what we expect after any meeting, whether inside South Africa or outside, that has been attended by women, that we need to get the feedback of what were the outcomes, what were the discussions. But I just want to raise few issues, starting with the Women Caucus of Parliament. I know it was not part of the report, but looking at the attendance, we become worried. Why so many few women? Because we have requested this day that we were given an hour or two, but now they allow us that we need to have this day to discuss women issues. But looking at the attendance, I think there's no committee meeting that is taking place. So this assembly was supposed to be better than the attendance that you see now. But also coming to, I think we need to make an assessment. What is the reason for women not to attend the Women Caucus? Because there's a lot that is being said in corridors. But if there's something erased in corridors, I think it's better to erase in a meeting so that we discuss it in the meeting. Coming to the issue of the delegation as raised by Honorable Chilwane, in corridors they are saying there's no need to attend the Women Caucus because when they are summit trips, the executive is the one that is going there. There's no rotation. Each and every person, each and every time you find one and the same people going out, other women are not exposed to those meetings. So I don't want to, as I'm saying, I don't want to be a liar. I believe that in raising an issue in a meeting, it will make the executive to make an assessment of what demotivates women not to attend this meeting. That is one of the reasons, because according to my understanding, initially CPA and CWP. There was a decision that was taken in the CPA some years back that each and every delegation, there should be women. And women must rotate. There should be a register that the executive is having, that in this year, so many women have attended, were part of the delegation. In the following year, other women also are exposed. So if one and the same people are the ones who attend those Africa trips, international trips, even in parliament activities, you know, when this Honorable Chapelo is saying, they are saying women must be part of the election must be part of the observers in other countries. How can women go there? Because one and the same people go there. If you can check the register, others have went out 50 times, while others, since it's over 5 years, were towards the end of the term. They didn't go out. They are not exposed to these things. So it discourages women. No. Why, if there's a meeting, we are being called? But if their trips is trips for them, you know, I think we have to look at that and make an assessment and try to look at the rotational issue, that all women, we cannot all be exposed, but those, at least if it's rotational, then I think it will be better that than seeing one and the same people attending all what is happening in parliament, it's them, in women caucus, it's them, in whatever, it's them. Other women are not exposed. So I think uPhumzile wakaNgwenya bamsile lokukhuluma lezinto akhali, siyakhala. Emacorridors, women are crying. Because no, it's a baseland. So that is why, but they don't take these meetings serious. Akubalulekanga lokuya ngaphandle, but it's one of the things. Isn't just balulekile ukuthi we need to be here, have a program, discuss issues that are affecting women, looking at the reports that they are presenting and see how can we integrate those things to our constituency work. Going out is not an issue, but it's part of an issue that demotivates other women not to attend the women caucus. Also, I think we need to make sure that we have a program, because we have been given this day. In the morning, there was a confusion. There's a women caucus, others it has been cancelled, you know. If we have a program, maybe three people, three items, other things, they don't need outside people to come. We need to note issues of public interest that affect women. What are the issues of public interest? Maybe we identify two or three women to develop a paper. We discuss as women, being alone, not inviting someone. Share ideas. How can we deal with those issues? Bathini bomama la ngaphandle, iziphi izinto ezibahluphayo? How can we assist them as parliamentarians? Not depending always you have to get a person to present. There are issues ezihluphayo nathi la parliament, sibomama. Ekufanele ukuthi nabe sizidiscussa kuphi? Khona la ku-women caucus. But if singana program, siyacabanga let's invite uPhumzile to come and present. Next week, let's invite Vanbani to come. We need to have a program looking at the issues that are important and develop a program and follow that program. I think that will assist us, Honorable Chairperson. That is what I wanted to raise, that we thank the report. Let it be continuous that if there's any event that women have attended, we must get the feedback, the report. No matter but I think information is power if you use it effectively. Thank you very much.
I think members of the steering committee are here. I'm not the only one who's supposed to be responding. And Comrade Chewu, for instance, will be the last person to talk. After, and I hope that you are getting done some of the issues that are being raised, as well as Honorable Sergeant. So both of you will come at the end, not now. I know that it was about the report, CPA report, but yeah. Honorable Bengu, I've recognized your hand. Magai, so lady, I've recognized your hand. She nearly killed me. Who else? Who else raised their hand? A minister, yes, in that order.
Thank you very much. I also want to add my voice in appreciating the report. It is very important for us to get the report and understand what is happening in other areas and how South Africa was represented. But I also want to come home. I'm going to talk about myself. If there's any person in this parliament who understands cooperatives, it's Ruth Bengu. That is a fact. I've been in this parliament since 1999. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. There is an agenda to empower women. Cooperatives are an instrument to organize communities for them to establish community-owned enterprises and workers-owned enterprises. That includes women. Members of parliament are not guaranteed serving in parliament beyond 5 years. It's not a guarantee. When members of parliament exit parliament, there is no guarantee that they will get a job. But if during the period of serving in parliament, women are empowered to understand how to organize themselves into cooperatives and use their constituency offices to organize other women, these women's caucus would have contributed in radical economic transformation in the context of transforming the ownership of the economy. I'm 66 years old now. I've been talking about cooperatives for more than 25 years. The failure rate of cooperatives in South Africa is 88%. We are seated here expected to provide leadership to other women. We are talking about land expropriation as an instrument to empower women and as an instrument to transform the economy. But how, without being given a platform, those who have the knowledge, to be given a platform to empower to impact their knowledge on others. So what I'm crying for is an opportunity to impart the knowledge that I have. Because it will not help for all of you to come to my funeral and say Ruth Bengu was a champion of cooperatives when Ruth Bengu has not imparted that knowledge to others. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I wanted to say something. Kumbe Togo one day when we had our meeting, she said that men fight in the house, but after the house, they go to gym together as different political parties. They talk amongst themselves. But us as women, instead of doing that, we rather, you know, distant from each other. And I think we really take that positively. Thank you very much. We're hoping that you are already preparing that topic, because we will call you in the next process to come and impart that information to us. Thank you very much. Honorable the lady.
Thank you very much, Shay. Let me also welcome the report, although I'm a bit late, Shay, sorry for that. But Chair, I want to add on what Umchala Paul-Pinzile has said on the issue that there are things that are being said in the corridors. I really would want you to take it seriously. Now we are saying it here, we are not saying it in the corridors, that really there is a problem that a lot of women are not given exposure to go to these conferences and be able to speak. And the other thing, when you go to these conferences, honestly, you are not coming back to report. I think this is the first time that you are reporting. We always hear that you are out, but people are not, you are not reporting in most of them. Maybe you have reported on two or three, but in most occasions, you don't report back to us what you have gained, wherever you have been, which is really one thing that you need to improve on it. And I hope, like you said, that members of the steering committee are going to respond. Would really appreciate them not to defend the points that are being raised here. We need to accept criticisms that are being said because they are not personal. We are not referring to individuals, but we are looking at the way things are done. I also want to come to the issue of the program. I think that it's important that we must have a program. We cannot always have to come here when there are things that are being reported that are happening outside our own boundaries. Why we've got a lot of things that we are supposed to be championing as this structure. A lot of women, there are a lot of atrocities that are committed against women. In the universities, for the past few months, we have seen a lot of our own girl child being killed in universities, but we have not said anything. There are a lot of things that we can do. We shouldn't wait when we've got conferences, then we are starting to have a program. We should have our own program that will be going, that will take, we will be championing out there. Because people are looking at us as women parliamentarians, but what is it that we are doing in order to help them? But this structure that is supposed to be doing that, we're really not doing good coverage. All of us here, it's our responsibility that we should stand up, we should do something. Some of us have been fortunate, like Mbembe, who has said, I was part of the previous term of parliament, although I was in the legislature. And we used to have vibrant multi-party caucuses, championed, led by the parliament. In different legislatures, we used to meet whenever there are problems, we go to Eastern Cape, we learn all these, all the good things that they are doing, the structure, they will go to Gauteng, we'll go to all these other provinces and learn the right things that are being done in those areas. But for this term, there's been a little bit of a lull. Even the provinces themselves, they're not even doing good. But you can imagine that provinces won't do good if us as parliament, which is the one that is supposed to lead all the different legislatures, we are not doing so well in terms of our program. So I would really urge that we must begin to have a program that is targeting women, not only us, women out there, girl child, and even boy child, because they are also suffering. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will join the honourable members that welcome the report. Chair, I think what we have to do in this forum, we have to look on how we should interlink these international forums where we participate in as parliament. I'm raising this because after listening to the report that was presented by Honorable Lindiwe, is that they talk to each other when it comes to the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women and the Commonwealth Women Parliamentarians. And I believe also, when you look at the IPU itself, where also there is a sub-committee that deals with women issues, I think we have to say how should we integrate those issues so that we should not be seen as if we're discussing new things altogether when it comes to it, either IPU or UNCSW. And I'm raising this because most of the issues that relate to gender and violence against women, they are always part and parcel of UNCSW. Now, the question is, how should you deal with those particular issues? I think on the issues that have been raised by Honorable Pumzi, is that maybe the best thing as this forum, you have to approach the Parliamentary Group on International Relations. Because I believe that it will be better if we say, let's make sure that in focus groups, women are represented in full. Because that will also allow a situation where the different delegations will participate in these international forums. And when we look at other programs, for example, under the international, under the Parliamentary Group on International Relations, there's a committee that specifically deals with the issues on SAEU and IPSA, including some of the empowerment development programs that are part and parcel of certain other categories. So I think if we can integrate that particular program, then we'll be able to be empowered as women, particularly from Parliament. And therefore, Chair, I think what should happen is that probably we should also share some of these things or some of these issues whenever we have the programs, particularly internationally. So my proposal would be to say, shouldn't we propose to the House Chair that is responsible for international relations to come and brief the Women's Caucus together with the International Relations Office, because they are the ones, in most cases, who advise the presiding officers on who should be part of the delegation, so that you can understand how have they dealt with the issues of the focus groups. Because when they were focus groups, it was far better because we knew who are the members who are mainly focusing on Commonwealth and those who were focusing on SADC forum, and also those who were focusing on other sub-forums that we participate in as Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any other head before steering committee members comes in? Honorable Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. I think I understand the frustration that other members have of the caucus, but I think we're blaming the wrong section. This committee, you must remember that we were sacrificing our lunch for the last 4 years, and we had to force programming to give us this day. They only agreed, I think, last year, early this year, to give us one day of Thursday. And for the last 4 years, we have gone to the speaker, we have gone to the programming to request that we should be given ample time to discuss women issues, because there are many issues. And last year, after the 2016 election, Comrade Didiza came to us as a committee to say that we must put in the section of the women, the Commonwealth women, into the caucus. That's how that's how we allow CPA
women section to report in this caucus, to become a branch. Actually, we're not CPA. And at the same time, I think Honorable Minister had put it very clearly that international relations in this institution is the one that decides who goes in which trip. We are not given that leeway, even if we participate in these women's committees. We are never given any chance to attend CSW. It is the International Relations Committee, International Relations Chair of Chairs that decides. So that is why I'm saying your frustrations are our frustrations, and we're not defending what we are doing. And we have tried, with the little time that we had for 3 years, we have called different departments, others do come, others don't come, but we have managed to even get some leverage, especially the sanitary towels, sanitary product issue. I think Treasury now, there's a discussion. I heard the President saying there are items that they have put on the agenda, which is an achievement in this fifth Parliament, that this...
There's somebody from... Sorry to interrupt you. There's somebody from Treasury.
No, I'm not reporting on her, but I'm just saying the President has talked about it in different podiums now, which is an achievement in terms of the multi-party. Yeah. The little time, that lunch time which we sacrificed, all of us, those that were consistent in coming to the meetings, we managed to get that achievement. So we must not like bash ourselves, because we're dealing with patriarchy, honorable members. It's not going to be easy to allow women the space to operate. So with the little time that we're having now on this day, it's good that you are also raising that we must even get members around us to present papers, to unpack issues, so that we can win some of the issues that affect us as women. And the programs that you are doing in legislatures, you can also share with the committee, so that these days are utilized effectively. I was also told today there was no meeting. So, some members thought that this meeting should be there. So it is good that we're raising our frustration here, and we must continue raising them. Even Honorable Punzile, continue raising your frustrations, because some people just keep quiet, and this institution continue to frustrate all of us. So let's continue. Whatever little achievements that we have managed, help us to even achieve more issues as we go forward. And thank you very much, Honorable Lindiwe, for giving this report. But I think some of your reports has to be reported at the CPA branch. This is not the CPA branch. It is the Women's Caucus. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Zeke.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also thank the members for raising their concerns and inputs. And also thank Honorable Lindiwe Maseko and Honorable Thapelo Chilwane for their presentation. I think we have maybe to be consistent going forward to make sure that other people who are attending, you know, conferences in other countries, outside the country, are also reporting the Chairperson. But I remember the previously in the multi-party caucus like this, we have received a report from New York around March, April. So I think going forward we'll improve as the multi-party. I also want to add on what Honorable Patricia Chin has said, to say we should not downplay the work that we have done, especially in this fifth parliament, honorable members. I think we have called a lot of people, departments, to come and present. It's unfortunate that members of parliament are not consistent in terms of attending meetings. We are calling meetings, but you know the attendance is always it always bad. But today, at least, we've got a reason for why members of parliament are not attending. And I agree with other members, Honourable Chiu, to say the delegation to International Forum is not done by us. We are also frustrated like them. And, you know, Honourable Lindwe Maseko was a TP, or she was attending your CPA because she was elected to the CPA chairperson in Africa. So she was forced to attend these meetings. And Honourable Didiza also, she is elected as the CWP chair in Africa. So she is forced to attend these meetings. But for other delegations, this is beyond our multi-party women's forum. It is done by the office of Mayor Omoroto. But I think we are taking the input as raised by honourable members. And I think at the level of the steering committee, Member Jackie, we should also engage Member Broad to say members of parliament are complaining in terms of the delegation at the level of the steering committee. And I think we'll also give them the report at the next multi-party women's caucus. The other chair, yeah, I think that's my input. And on issues of national importance or national interest, I think we should discuss them further at the level of a steering committee chair, and we come up with a program of action. But I remember sometimes when, you know, social development had some challenges, we managed to call Minister Batavile then, you know, these grant issues. We managed to call her to come and present and brief members of parliament so that they can be able to present at the constituency offices. But I think we must improve going forward, Chair, in terms of discussing issues of national importance so that members of parliament can be able to be capacitated and be able to report back at the constituency meetings. I think that's my input.
I thought that was the last hand. I didn't see your hand, Honorable Dikeledi, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, President. Let me also echo the sentiments about the achievements made by the Women's Caucus. But I think we cannot say that it's pride if we still have men retreating to us who should go where. I thought maybe it should be the leadership of the Women's Caucus who will maybe nominate people if there's a trip that we have to take. And in addition to that, again, seeing that we are now nearing the end of the term, and we don't know who may come back or may not come back, I've spoken about what I'm going to talk about now with Honorable Lindiwe Maseko and Honorable Togo Didiza, but outside the meeting, saying, can't we organize our own trip and visit other women in the continent before we say our goodbyes? Maybe it may be too soon to say now, but maybe around December before we close Parliament. And just have that oversight, you know, on our own, and I think it will be on our own expense, but with the negotiation through the leadership of Women's Caucus, maybe we can talk to the responsible people to meet us halfway financially. That's a proposal, and I think it will be supported.
I like that proposal. I think if you're close to me, you'll know that, hey, if it was for me, I would travel every month. I don't have Voyager miles because I travel a lot. I like traveling. So if it was possible, I think we'll all be happy. And thank you very much for your contributions. Suffice to say that, you know, we've had budget issues, not only in Parliament, but in all the legislatures. You go and propose a program, but they'll tell you about budgetary constraints. all the speakers, that's what they complain about. And I think that's why Fifth Parliament has been a bit difficult in all spheres. That's what they complain about. I think even when we had our program with Women's Caucus from other legislatures, they were complaining that we used to come together as Women's Caucus from all 10 legislatures and actually talk about women's issues. But now we told about budget constraints. So it's actually difficult for you to even try. I don't want to overemphasize what the Congress from the steering committee says. We really have nothing to do with international troops. Some of the troops, we hear about them when people are already in the plane or a day before that trip takes place. But when they are back, where were you? I was in Lesotho doing ABCD. Welcome back. So it has nothing to do with us. But I think it's a proposal. We will go to Honorable Boroto and tell her what women are saying. Because I remember in the fourth parliament during Honorable Oliphant's time, there used to be focus groups, and they were really focus groups. If you were a focus group on IPU, you would be there for the entire year. But things are changing, you know, yeah. There are serious problems that you think in Parliament. When we got here, after we were elected as, after we were deployed as steering committee members, I met one member who said, hey, thank God you guys are there. Please make sure that when there's a trip, you put us in. I looked at her and said, we discussed trips there. That would be nice because Nagrandazila, so I'll be sorted. But it was never anything like that. So just to say to him, to honorable members, it has nothing to do with us. And thank you very much for all the contributions that you've made. We've learned a lot, and we'll make sure that in all the focus groups that are there, they put women, and it should be discussed in the Women's Caucus, especially those women that we know that are always there when we call meetings. You know, I think everybody wants to learn a lot of things. Honorable Pumzile earlier on said that knowledge is power, and it's good to share that knowledge, and really, I think it's a new thing, even after the UNCSW, there was a report in this committee. But then when we started this meeting, for those who were not part, maybe let me re-apologize again, because we did apologize for the cancelling and then reinstating the meeting. The reason for cancelling was that Honorable Bathabile Dlamini, who is the minister in the presidency, of women in the presidency, was not available to come and give us her report. That is why the meeting was initially cancelled. But then we discussed with the leadership of our caucus that we can never, there's no way, with all the issues that we have. Honorable Zoledi, you are the one who talked about this, if you could listen. With all the problems that we have, there was no way that we could cancel the Women's Caucus today. That's why we agreed that we'll carry on with the caucus. And we did apologize for writing emails of saying we have cancelled, and now we are not cancelling anymore. The meeting is there. So we really want to apologize. So for those who came late, I just wanted to emphasize that. But it was really the whole problem. But then again, thank you very much for the report. I think as this parliament, and South Africa is actually leading in a lot of ways. And we have to make sure that whoever goes to this meeting, if any one of you, if you get a call from House Chair or the Speaker or whoever calls you to invite you to a meeting,
just know that it's always good to get a mandate.
Because you can't go there as Ntabi Seng and say, I am representing South Africa, when South African women caucus has not come together and actually say, these are the things that you want to push when you go there. And I think some of the programs that are failing, they are failing because we do not discuss, we don't get mandates at all. And I think we can do better if things are done differently. And I think we'll talk to the powers that may be here in Parliament and make sure that our issues are really taken seriously. Supporting women, we are taking it very seriously, Honorable Tapelo, that we are going to make sure that we are supporting each other. Even now that it's election time, it's not about anything else, but just to say we want to make sure that women are there, they are representing the country, and let's support each other. We can never or ever overemphasize that. Thank you very much for the report, and as Honorable Linda Maseko has said, she will circulate the report. I think already it's with Brian, so we'll get that report in our emails by the end of business today, and the other report that you said we should have. And I think in the next podcast, Brian, we'll be discussing a program of action. How do we inculcate what they come up with from CSW, because Comrade Didiza has said, as even though we are women's caucus, but she would want us to help them as part of CSW. Is CSW again? CWP chapter. I think I have the acronyms, and I'm not good with them at all. Yeah, that chapter, we are part of that chapter as women in Parliament, so we must make sure that we part of the group, even though we didn't go there, but we should make sure that Africa becomes a better place to live in. We are a very rich continent, and it's about time that we change the furniture or the way people think about us as Africans. That when you talk about Africa, you talk about corruption. They should see this Africa that is rich. And we should go out there and show the world that we can do it in Africa as women. And the only people who could do that are women. And now we are going to call Ms. Yanga Mputa to talk about VAT-free on sanitary towels. This time around, I'm going to assure you, you won't be grilled at all. We'll all be smiling at your report because we've been waiting for this. Yeah. Ms. Yawa?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. The last time we reported here, it was on the 17th of May 2018. And during that time, we reported that there's an intergovernmental task team that is leading the provision of sanitary towels, and that task team is led by the Department of Women, of which they have to produce a policy framework. And then I also reported that the Minister of Finance, after announcing the increase on VAT from 14% to 15%, there was a VAT panel that was appointed to look at the current zero-rated list and whether there are any other products that can be added to the list or any products that can be removed to the list that do not support the poor and needy. On the 6th of August, the panel handed the report to the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Finance published the report for public comment on the 10th of August. The last day for public comment is tomorrow, 31 August. So we've got the report, we published for public comment, and on Tuesday, the 28th of August, the panel briefed the Standing Committee on Finance on the report. So the panel has got recommendations on the report, and the recommendation that I'm going to talk about here is the issue of sanitary products. The panel indicated that zero-rating sanitary products will have only limited impact on improving women's access to sanitary products in low-income households. That said, the panel recommends that sanitary products should be zero-rated, but this should be done together with the provision of free access to sanitary products for low-income women. And as I've said in the beginning, the free access, there is an intergovernmental departmental task team which is led by the Department of Women regarding that issue. But Treasury and other government departments are also part of the task team. And then the panel also recommended that government should expedite the provision of providing free sanitary products to the poor. And they also said that zero rating is a blunt instrument because it cuts costs for all households, not just the poor, so even the rich, and there are also fiscal constraints. So now that we've got the report, we've got the recommendations of the panel, the next step regarding the report is that tomorrow is the last day for public comment. And then a standing committee on finance, because the zero rating item also falls part of the money bill and the Minister of Finance, hence we have to report to the standing committee on finance. Will convene public hearings in 2 weeks. That's what they said yesterday. And then thereafter, National Treasury will have to respond on the report. And then this will form part of the response by the National Treasury. But as we have said, and also that's what the panel said, that as we have already said in this committee, that VAT exemption on sanitary powers will not assist the poor at all, because even if it's VAT exempt, there's still a cost of buying the sanitary products. So if you do not have money, VAT exemption is not going to help the poor. So, and the panel also recommended that you must expedite the provision of providing free sanitary products to the poor. That is the important thing. So we have to respond on the panel report to the Standing Committee on Finance. And after reporting, after Treasury has responded, we will come and respond to you. And then the next step is that the minister is tabled to the cabinet and all that, because it's part of the money bill. But I think the Department of Women needs to come and do the presentation regarding the response on provision of sanitary towels to the poor, because they are leading the task team, not Treasury. Thank you.
Let me say, this is the day really that we should be rejoicing and actually pat ourselves on the back and say, we've been waiting to hear this. When I first heard about it, I was watching it on TV at home. There was this young lady speaking about how the government is going to lose billions of rand in terms of zero rating or VAT-free on a lot of items. That the poor, yes, we are constrained, but it's also going to affect the fiscal. But when she talked about the sanitary towels, I remember screaming and saying, oh my God, at long last, what we have fought for here with the leadership of my story. I know that we have grilled you so many times. You and the other gentleman, I forgot his name, would grill you and, you know, and explain to you what you already understand. That yes, you know, buying a packet of pets is 46 rand, very expensive. Even for those who really can afford, it's really expensive. And you find that packet of pets is only 8 pets inside. So which is not even enough for 2 weeks if you're going for 2 weeks or a week. That's for eight pets are not enough at all. So, yeah, thank you very much for even availing yourself to come and brief us. We'd want to, because it's a milestone, we want to celebrate each and every milestone. It's our achievement as Women's Caucus, and I think we really need to celebrate the milestone. So I don't know if there are questions. I've seen Honorable Seke, Honorable Chewu, Honorable Bembu,
Honorable Benenya and Mama Jackie. So we'll start with Mabel. You wanted to say something? Oh, you raised it? So ladies, raise it. Mfuno. Oh, okay. Okay, I got one. Oh, Miss Kati, I got one. So we'll start with Honorable Bengu and her, and then you. Honorable Sinanya will be the last. Honorable Majeke will be the last from the Steering Committee. Again, this is not. We are all Steering Committee members, so we are all in this. So that's why I'm sidelining you guys. Don't bear with me and don't be angry with me. Honorable Benji.
Thank you very much. Really, it is worth celebrating that initiative, and we would want to commend the report and the work done. I, however, would want to sensitize the Women's Caucus that we should try and make a balance in addressing issues of poverty and align that to issues of development, to avoid a situation where we would drive South Africa into becoming a welfare state. What goes into my mind is every month a woman by nature uses a sanitary pad. And I'm looking at the number of women. A very sizable market for the development of cooperatives. And I'm then looking at a need for an opportunity to also drive the agenda of who will supply. Are we going to use the very same poverty analysis to facilitate a situation where what is being supplied is also used to develop the very same women and take them out of poverty by organizing them to produce those sanitary pads and then supply them to other women so that we reduce the number? When we intervene in poverty, we should also intervene in a developmental manner to reduce the number of those who are passive recipients and take some of them out of the poverty cycle. And I think that when we use that approach, we will then begin to break the poverty cycle. Children who are born by families who can't buy sanitary pads for themselves today will in 10 years' time buy their own sanitary pads because the money would have rotated in the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with Mark Ben what you are saying because this is some of the points. But I just wanted to understand that Treasury is talking about that it's going to be expensive, but they are going to support it. Now I'm asking myself to say, what is the relationship between Social Development Department and Department of Health? Because as education, because at schools we know, the schools know who needs what. They know these people, especially when it comes to young people. The health department, the social development they've got. But when it comes to benefiting in terms of making sure that women can benefit more,
I agree to say, are we having people that we are prepared to train to manage that charters, and then also some users to become suppliers? Because once we do that simultaneously, it is going to assist, because majority, some of them will be employed and they can afford. But in the meantime, we can also, because we are not only going to do it for government, it will be going for everybody in South Africa, including the neighboring countries where we will be supplying them. So I agree to say, as much as we are trying to assist, we must also make sure that we develop people to become business people, to become co-ops, so that that can move in the, it can create, people can be taken out of dependency. Because at this moment, our country is depending on government. We don't teach people to rise above dependency and become independent on their own.
Thank you very much, Honorable Second.
So thank you very much, Chair. Let me appreciate the presentation by the person from the National Treasury. Chair, I would want us to invite the Department of Women in our next meeting, because they are the people who are leading the task team in terms of the sanitary dignity policy framework, just to come and brief us in terms of the progress report, because it has been established last day. And amongst other things that we are dealing with is the issue of manufacturing this sanitary towels within our country. So I would love us, like us to extend an invitation to them for the next meeting. And two, I think we should also get the mandate from the multi-party with regard to the maybe a statement of some kind from us, because the presenter is saying tomorrow is the last day for public comment. I think it will be proper for us as the multi-party to comment on the zero rating on the sanitary product, but you must get a mandate from the multi-party. Thank you.
Very much.
Shate, yes, I'm Shate Wadu. Yeah, I think, Che, I'm very happy after a struggle, you know, because they were telling us what else are you going to come up with that they have to do zero rating. I mean, with that arrogance from National Treasury. You know, women didn't ask to be to menstruate. Mm. So, and that should be the base. It is a women's right. It has nothing to do with welfare, comrades. We can't say South Africa is going to be a welfare state if it provides the poor sanitary towels. It is not welfare. It is not welfare, comrades. We need. Other countries have removed VAT that has very low economic economies. In Senegal is lesser than South Africa. Their GDP is lesser than South Africa. And they have managed to remove VAT, meaning that there will still be sanitary towels that are sold in the shops for people that can buy them. But for those that are indigent, we are saying, because it is South African government that made people poor in South Africa. It was institutionalized to make people poor. So the poor people have to be catered for. And we are saying to government, you have to be developmental in your approach also. When we were introducing the two cities in townships, we failed to see the market. We would have developed factories that were doing stoves, iron, and all that. We're still buying iron from other people. We're not manufacturing those iron. And we were millions of people that were without electricity and we were not developmental in our approach in institutional literacy in our households. So even in this one, we did ask the Department of Women to ensure that they put women first, those that are unemployed, and make sure that the products that government supply must be manufactured in South Africa, which will create jobs and which will ensure that our women are employed in those manufacturing firms. So we applaud the National Treasury for heeding the call, because our argument was also, what is that? I'm taking a liberty time for sexual intercourse. Okay. No, no, the rubber thing that you use, condom. Yes. Yeah, when people were introducing condoms, they never said anything, and it was a choice to use a condom. To menstruate is not a choice. Kids are not going to school. They are not attending school because they are menstruating and they don't have pets. So this was a necessary step that National Treasury was taking into consideration. But we are saying, and we were saying to her, please, as a woman, please explain it to these male counterparts who don't understand that women are suffering. So she did her job. And we want to applaud her for putting our message forward to those main people there at National Treasury. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Comrade Patricia. Condom, I'll show you, it's in the third floor in every restaurant.
Yes, everywhere.
Everywhere, but it's only male condoms. Female condoms, they say they are very expensive to manufacture.
Yeah.
So, Mabem, you have a lot of work to do with your cooperatives. Let's make sure that we have our female condom. So we have Deputy Minister Honorable Comrade Tabete and Honorable Debbie.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I also add on to the voices of those that said the life goal for zero rating of the pens, but also to give women free pens and all those who are poor and all that. It's quite, I think, to me, a good move that we've been talking about for years. But the zero rating part, I think, is also acknowledged. But I think it's still going to go some processes and all this, but just to have that, I think to me it's a plus. What I'm trying, the way I understood Comrade Ruth Bengu, Comrade Ruth Bengu is saying we must be able to empower a lot of women in terms of the manufacturing of the pets, etc., and all that, and we must try to move out of a welfare state type of a country. That's what you said, because I do agree with her fully 100%, because I think we cannot, as government, continue. I'm sure even the Treasury can attest to this. It is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. It is not sustainable to give people free houses, free water, free, everything is free. Mm-hmm. And hence, we are advocating to be a developmental state. If you're a developmental state, to try and make sure that we empower people to do things on their own. Mm-hmm. The problem is that we've got a lot of impediments towards that, and people end up then being dependent on. And to me, the grant system, as far as I understand it, 94, when we introduced it as government, it was because a lot of our people were suffering. And we had a lot in terms, even if you look at the pension grant given to Abokok and Abokul, the older people, it was segregated. White people used to get more money, like every month, colored and Indians, and then most Africans used to get it once in 3 months' time. Mm-hmm. Then it went on once a month and all that, but it was not fair. Then, as we came in 1994, we're trying to make sure that we can have some balance in terms of all the, whether, irregardless of color, if you are whatever, 6.25, you get the same amount. But we created reliance in terms of our people, most of them, that they will get a lot of money, not some of the people. I mean, if you look at to just like the cash grants and all that, people who get that at times, not people who are really poor. Some of them are working. You go there in your constituency. I do go from time to time and check. Some actually working, they come and get the money and go to work. But when they go to apply, they go and apply like very poor people. But after that, they go and then, it means to me they are double dipping, and the real people who are not getting the services, those that you find that they are rural areas, they are fine, all those things. But the issue is that you must try to get away from have an exit strategy to move out of a dependency of people that will be able to have. Because to me, inadvertently, we created a welfare state because we're trying to address a particular irregularity that happens, I mean, over apartheid. So this is what she said. She was saying, let's try and make sure that as we intervene in this, we have the developmental aspect on it, so that those people that we target to for them to form cooperatives and then do this first will then be able to move away from the grant system because they will be getting income from that. And for sure, as this grows to, I mean, supply more people, it means a lot of our people will have sustainable cooperatives that have got, I mean, a market, and the market is growing. They'll move away from that. So I think that's what lastly she was saying. And I think I agree with her. That's what we should do, rather than to give people money for nothing. Many countries, remember, don't have even grants. Even the housing, I think there are one in the world that gives people, I mean, money, free housing and also grants. We are one of the few. Some, even if you get a grant, you do something. In India, there's no grant. But the people are entrepreneurial, they've got rights, work ethic and all those things. They make it work from whatever government decides to do and assist them. And it's exactly what Comrade Ben is saying. We should be looking at that now. With our 25 years of democracy, we should be having programs that are giving people empowerment instead of them, I mean, getting something from government. They never say, teach a person how to fish, than to give a fish to a person every day. Because if you teach that person to fish, the person will not be dependent on you. They'll be able to do things on. So that is just trying to deal with that balance and make sure that we can move towards a developmental state type of. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't want to sound like I'm suppressing others to talk, but it's 12 o'clock.
Mm.
Most of the time, caucus is supposed to end at 12. Mm. So I'm just saying when we talk, so that we don't end up having half again before we end up, because people will be going for lunch and all that stuff. And as to the deputy president is answering questions, I'm just saying, Honorable Debbie, and then I will. The reason why I've asked them to come in before, in case they ask questions, you as the steering committee can reply. So their hands were not up when we first started. So that's why I'm trying to sabotage you a little bit. You'll come just now, Honorable Debbie.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Colleen. Yeah, we appreciate the road you traveled, you know, as the Women Caucus. I think you need a hand of applause in that regard. And with the issue of sanitary pads, I'm of the view that they go hand in glove with the environment where us as women, where we utilize that environment. Is that environment conducive? Is that environment clean? Is there any privacy? So when we are looking at ensuring that we must give the young women those sanitary pads, right to privacy, right to a healthy, clean environment.
Yes.
And what Honorable Tabeta was saying, the issue of developmental state. When we were celebrating Masisulu, Masisulu at the age of, I think, 16 years, when she was at Maria Star, when she was at the boarding school, she used to do some certain duties to pay for her tuition. And I think it was developmental in approach. We cannot really allow, you know, being, you know, giving handouts every time. We should also come with mechanism to ensure that our people, they are having that developmental mentality. We can see that our children now, they are ugly. But this woman called Nonzi Kelebe, she paid her tuition by working during the over the weekend at Maria's time. So, comrades, women, our children, they don't want to do anything. So let's come with something that will be able to develop our communities. But sanitary, go hand in glove with environment. You have to change. Is the environment clean? Number one. Number two, is it there is privacy in that environment? After that, you must wash your hands. So let's put a package in there, and the people who should drive us, it should be women in our communities. The right to clean, healthy environment, and the right to privacy. Because we are talking about this sanitary pad. You change, you don't wash your hands. Right. After changing them. I thank you.
Thank you. By the way, Comrade Debbie used to be a nurse, so she's teaching us. Honorable Semenya, you have a when I can sabotage, you have a 2 minutes each.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I'll be even less than that because we've discussed extensively in the last meeting, and because the Minister of Business was here, if you remember, we have given her mandate to do what Honorable Bengu has raised, and mine was just to say the issues that Mam Ruth is talking about, what we have agreed on, and the Minister of Small Business was in that meeting and was given her mandate to work with the Minister of Women. And I agree with Honorable Zeke that we should then start to follow up this the task team, because it's long overdue. They should actually get the feedback in terms of how far are they in making sure that the previously disadvantaged groups are getting the sanitary towels. And Chair, to agree again that because tomorrow is the last day, let's issue a statement and submit. It shouldn't be a public statement. Let's submit if we have not submitted. And if we can get even other caucuses to do the same in the provinces, let them do it because it will make impact on the outcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Though my head was not up, I guess you wanted me to say something. Just as a little bit of a background, I want, before I say what I'm going to say, but I can tell you it's going to be less than 2 minutes. When I was training as a general nurse, when you are in theater and operating on the table, it's full of blood, and then you use whatever material cloth, and those as a junior nurse, you are given first to clean before they go to autoclave
for being sterilized. What I'm getting to is that during our time, we never had these sanitary pads, but our mothers were able to do pads for us, which were sustainable in the sense that you were able to use that pad more than once. Now, my point is, it's your blood. We used to clean other people's blood when you are in theater or in casual. Now, how possible it is that there could be pads that are not disposable, which can be reused, and then if a child is given maybe in Form 1, she may use that pad maybe for a period of 6 months or something like that. I'm looking into the environment because these disposable pads are a health hazard as well. You find the bin full, you find the toilet flush. They are all over the show, even in the refuse where a municipality has to collect. They are just a mess. My point is, how possible it is that Honorable Bengu, she has come up with this cooperative process of women, at the same time not to be too dependent as a country, to be always given something every time. Then the communities maybe can be empowered within their areas and do this path which can be sustainable for a longer solution for a longer period. That's my contribution, Jen.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to the contributions. Honorable Semenya is right. We agreed with Comrade Lindy Zulu when she was there. She actually said she's going to make sure that those manufacturers of pads are going to be women. And we all agreed and were very excited about that. And I agree that we should also look into the environment. They're talking about cups where something, I was going to tell you because I didn't understand it well, but it's a cup that you put in there and it takes the bloody thingy, and then you can throw it away, clean it again and put it back. But this is not a day to talk about that. But I thank you for the suggestion that you have put. In fact, when we were arranging for this meeting, we had called people from communications to actually issue a statement from Women's Caucus, because I think Master, where she is very happy. This is one of the things that she led in Parliament to make sure that we do have, you know, with her leadership, she made sure that we have zero-rated, bed-free sanitary towels. So we are going to issue a statement, but not only that. You wanted to say something before? Okay.
So, thank you, Chair. The point of correction, I'm saying the panel has recommended to the minister that it should be zero rated. So the request is that the Women Caucus should submit comments to Treasury tomorrow.
It's not finalized. Even the president, when he was speaking in Parliament, he did say that it's a progress. But to us, it's a progress. But the main thing was that to actually, that statement should actually say to women out there, please make sure that you do submit. We have our WhatsApp groups. Let's use them effectively today. We have cell phones, and then we can call our constituency, and let's make sure that a lot of women get this message that please, it's the last day tomorrow for you to be comment on the zero rating of sanitary towels. So please, let's make sure that as we leave this meeting, all of us should be on our phones, WhatsApp groups, as well as Raja from the communications. We'll also be sending this communique clearly out to women out there and say, tomorrow is the last day, let's make sure, because we know that it's our parliament, we said this is a parliament for the people. They have to give us a mandate, even though we know how we suffer, but if they don't give mandate, then we can't
say something that they are not saying. So it's important that they give us that mandate. So our job after this, as we're eating lunch, as we're going there, let's use those WhatsApp groups effectively. And I hope that Raja is ready with that statement. And as soon as we leave this meeting, it will be out and people will know that they should be commenting. Thank you very much for attending and thank you very much for your comments. We're hoping that things are going to change. Everything happens for a reason. Things take time at some stage when we are really in a hurry to make, to see things happening. But when they do happen, they happen, if you take your time and do things properly, when it does happen, it's sustainable. So thank you so much for attending. We'll see you again in another caucus. Thank you very much.
I'm really sorry. It's not aligned with the meeting. It's just a point of clarity. The last meeting we had last week or 2 weeks back, you promised that come 29th to 31st August, we will be meeting the president on the summit. Is it still on? Why are you quiet about it? Just want to know, is it still on? Yeah, we want to attend out of our.
And then on public, we have to just remind that